So today we're reading from Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 8, Text 43. Sri Vamana Uvacha,
Sri Vamana Uvacha,
Evam Vyavasita Matir,
Evam Vyavasita Matir,
Durasham Samsata Sajam,
Durasham Samsata Sajam,
Shitopashanam Asaya,
Shitopashanam Asaya,
Shayam Upavivechasa,
Shayam Upavivechasa.
Please repeat for the pose. Shri Brahmana Vacha,
Shri Brahmana Vacha,
the Abhidhita said,
the Abhidhita said,
Evam,
Evam,
Tathas,
Tathas,
Vyavasita,
Vyavasita,
Determined,
Determined,
Mati,
Her mind,
Durasham,
Durasham,
the sinful desire,
the sinful desire,
Kanta,
Kanta,
lovers,
lovers,
Tasha,
Tasha,
hankering for,
hankering for,
Jam,
Jam,
cause, caused by, sorry, Chitva,
Chitva,
cutting off,
cutting off,
Upashamam,
Upashamam,
intranquility,
intranquility,
Asthaya,
Asthaya,
being situated,
being situated,
Shayam,
Shayam,
on the bed,
on the bed,
Upavivesha,
Upavivesha,
set down,
set down,
Sa,
Sa,
She,
She.
Translation by the communication of Prabhupada.
Yeah.
The Avadhita said, thus my mind completely made up, Pingala cut off all her sinful desires to enjoy sex pleasure with lovers, and she became situated in perfect peace. Then she sat down on her bed. And this is the last text of the chapter. Asaye paramam dukha mayasyam param sukham yathasanchirya kantarsham sukham sushpapa pingala. Translation. Material desire is undoubtedly the cause of the greatest unhappiness, and freedom from such desire is the cause of the greatest happiness. Therefore, completely cutting off her desire to enjoy so-called lovers, Pingala very happily wished to speak. Thus ends the purport of the servant of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Story of Pingala. Pancha kalpa tira shakti krasi nivaya shakti samantara vivaishnava jiva jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita vedanta shri gautama gaur bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare 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 krishna thank you all for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class, which is ending this very wonderful chapter, the story of Pingala. Of course, in the beginning there was a few other things explained. So basically after this begins another chapter which is entitled Detachment from All That is Material, and after that there will be another seven gurus that will be described with an additional guru of our own body. So here what's been happening in the life, in the autobiography of Pingala, is an understanding that Pingala had this conception, she had this identification with her body, and thus she was formulating different relationships attached to the body. So because of this identification with the body and the elements which make up the body, she started wanting sense gratification. She wanted to fulfill her desires, being forgetful of Krishna. So that is the state that we are all in. We're in forgetfulness of our constitutional position as being servants of Krishna, as being His part and parcels. So Pingala tried as best as we could to actually enjoy the senses which are insatiable. So the material senses, of course, are very difficult and troublesome to see, then to maintain. You see that we have to go through so many endeavors to maintain the body, to maintain our attachments, to maintain our concocted ideas, or even our desires. So Pingala came to this point where she was frustrated. It's explained how she was sitting in various poses, beautifying herself, doing all these wonderful things people do to maintain the body for sense enjoyment. But she became frustrated, and in that frustration with the material energy that she was trying so hard to engage in, she started questioning herself, and she started looking within, and she started seeing that she's been such a foolish living entity, being forgetful of Krishna. And in that stage, she was realizing that actually there's no point in trying to gratify our senses. And the analogy that's used often by Srila Prabhupada, trying to satisfy our material desires, is like a drop of water on the desert. It's just, there's no point to it. We won't get anything, no matter how long we wait for. The material energy just will not satisfy us. So Pingala is at this point, and she started lamenting. And I was listening to a lecture by Maitreya Samasa, and he was explaining that this is good lamentation, because this kind of lamentation leads you to the lotus feet of Krishna. Instead of staying in a corner and lamenting, oh, I'm so sinful, I'm so fallen, I'm a prostitute, blah, 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 that's not going to produce anything from your heart. That's not going to spark anything from the soul. So a healthy lamentation is understanding this position that we're condemning ourselves in the material world, and the minute we wake up by the mercy of Krishna and his devotees, we can start seeing, I was so foolish in my endeavors, in my desires, but now looking back, I realize that that kind of life wasn't making me happy. So she's using her disadvantaged experience in the beginning of identifying with the body, being subjected to our ahankar, our false ego, and she's turning that into a positive experience by seeking the shelter of Krishna, which is what all part and parcel of the Lord should do. So here, start speaking about this mind that we have. So oftentimes, especially for chanting, the mind gives us a hard time. The mind doesn't want to listen. It doesn't want to be the friend. And you're reading so many letters in Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita as well, how Srila Prabhupada says, there's no question of controlling the mind. We simply just have to engage the mind in spiritual subject matter. We have to engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. It's not that the mind remains inactive. We have to engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. And it's just simply about detaching ourselves from our previous contamination and attaching ourselves to Krishna. And oftentimes we don't want to perform this detachment from material nature and attaching ourselves to Krishna because of the false ego. We're thinking, I know what I'm doing, I know what life is about, there's nothing wrong with my mind, I'm fine, although I have a miserable life and all I do is work from 9 to 5 and pay the bills and try to have some kind of enjoyment during the weekend. So we convince ourselves actually with our mind that we're actually okay and don't need anything. And then we start thinking, you know, this is real. I'm being very logical. I can see I have money. I'm enjoying very nicely. So the mind is playing tricks with us. It makes us believe. It creates this bubble of illusion. And we fall right in, because that's what we've been doing since time immemorial. We've been making all these concocted ideas, playing all these mental gymnastics with our mind, and it hasn't really produced anything substantial. It hasn't produced anything real. It just keeps on producing repeated birth and death. So the minute we stop identifying with the body, you know, our false ego gradually starts to decrease, because then that means we stop acting for our sense pleasure, we stop acting for our sense gratification, we start acting for Krishna. And that can be a bit difficult because of the different samskaras that we have. In this material world, the first thing that you do is all about your self-interest. It's what's in it for me. So to actually go against that, to go against that material energy is very difficult. That's why Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON, because we actually need the association of devotees to practice Krishna consciousness. By ourselves, it becomes very troublesome. So the devotees actually carry us in Krishna consciousness. They can see how we're acting and they know how to rectify us. And they can rectify us and we can feel that they're being a bit harsh or not so nice, but it's for our own benefit. Just as a mother tells a child, you have to start going to school even if you don't like it. But in the end, when we grow up, after we mature, after a few years, we'll understand this point. That when the devotee 10 years ago in the ashram used to wake me up all the time at 3:30 to go for Mangal Arati and then hit 7 hours or whatever, crossways, then go and Harinam and then come back, the whole thing month in and out, we'll realize that that was actual love. They're actually interested in our well-being, in our welfare, not temporarily but on a permanent basis. So here, this false ego, which is why we're here, for this identifying with the body. And we can see just with our body how amazing Krishna's, even just Krishna's material energy, that we are all individuals who are made up of the same elements, of the same gross elements, and we're just interacting with three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, but still we're such individuals. So depending on our desires, we relate with the material modes of nature in a specific way. So that's all actually our desires are made of, the interaction with the three modes of material nature. That's how powerful the modes are. Just three modes, and yet we're all individuals, we all have different desires, different conceptions, different bodies, different everything. But it's still just Krishna's energy. It bewilders us so much. So even with the universe, we know that Brahma creates in the mode of passion, Lord Shiva is maintaining the mode of goodness, and so Lord Vishnu is maintaining, and then Lord Shiva is destroying in the mode of ignorance. So even with that, it's still the material energy working in a bigger way. So we have this body, we have this gross body, and then we have the universal body. It's still made up of the modes of material nature. So we actually want to transgress, we actually want to pierce through these material coverings. And to pierce through that means we have to relinquish this false ego and the materialistic mind. Because as we understand from the Bhagavad Gita, the only thing that we take with us at the point of death is the astral body, the subtle body, which has been creating our next, which has been creating our future basically. And Prabhupada is describing how actually only by the process of devotional service can we burn the subtle body. So when our false ego is gone, we can't actually come back and take birth again. Because we don't have material, we don't have the sanskaras anymore, we don't have our concocted ideas, our gymnastic ideas of what life is and who we are. So by practicing devotional service, we actually come out of this covering of the modes of material nature. We get to realize we have a spiritual body, we have spiritual senses, we have a spiritual destination. In that phase, we cannot go with the false ego. You know, imagine it's morning pastimes and Krishna is getting dressed and they're cooking his prasadam and we somehow forget to put the tulsi because we're just so mental. You know, we had a late night and we had too much milk and, you know, couldn't wake up early enough. Or we're thinking, why is this Manjari or that Sakhi fanning Krishna? Why can't I do it? We can't have those kind of tendencies in the spiritual world. That's why this devotional service, Sadhana Bhakti, which is prescribed to give us purification so that we can stop with our concocted ideas of I'm the best, it's just me and my guru. You know, I was reading, it was quite interesting, in one of the purports in the next chapter, Srila Prabhupada says the reason why we actually fell from the spiritual world is because we didn't properly worship the spiritual master. And I'd never read that before, and I was thinking about it deep and trying to come up, I was just trying to understand it properly, and I was thinking that while we're here in this movement, in this house Srila Prabhupada created, he told us to cooperate with each other. And of course we approach Srila Prabhupada by the mercy of the spiritual master. And we get engaged in devotional service by the mercy of the spiritual master. So if it's happening here, if we're under the shelter of our spiritual master here, we're obviously under his shelter in the spiritual world. He engages us in his service, he introduces us to Krishna. So because if we weren't properly attentive to him, we wanted to be independent, we wanted to do our own thing, therefore we offended our spiritual master, we offended Krishna, and Krishna said, okay, I'll give you a situation where you can want to be like me, hence the material world. So that's our downfall, that we have this independent streak coming from all these ideas and the planning schemes we have in our mind about what I can do, what I can do for myself, and how, what I can do for other people because I'm so powerful. So the mind says, Krishna Das, you know that the mind is like a monkey. Mahabandha. Not small. Big mind that we have and big false ego that we have. So we have to gradually just chop it off by following the nine processes of devotional service. And then here we can understand, the next point I want to speak about is who Pingala was associated with. So we understand that by the power of association, we develop desires, we develop certain desires, we develop certain characters, way of life. So Pingala was mainly associating with materialistic men, lusty men. And she was associating with the modes that are inherent in that kind of association. And I listened to a past few lectures from my spiritual master while he was here in Melbourne, and he was explaining how, you know, out there in the material world, in the material sphere, you have everyone, whether it's in a pure or in a perverted way, we're all looking for us, we're all looking for this exchange, this loving relationship, whether it's pure or whether it's contaminated. And he gave the example of artists and musicians, that they are gushing out their hearts, they're spilling out their hearts in forms of music, art, you name it. And people, this gets into people's consciousness, it gets into people's ideas, they think about this and that. And then automatically we start desiring those things as well. We see someone developing a certain, you know, punk rock attitude and, you know, singing so like dark, heavy metal type of thing. And then we start thinking, this is cool, this is the way to go, you know. And then he explains how when we hear a certain sound, when we hear that kind of sound vibration, we become contaminated. And it's like germs. They're spreading diseases and we catch those germs. That's how association works. So we associate with certain people, we're going to gradually over time become like them. That's why in devotional service it's just so much that we should seek out good association. Even amongst practitioners of devotional service, we're all on different levels of understanding what Krishna consciousness is about. It doesn't only think, you know, or everyone is a devotee and everyone is perfect. We're on the path of perfection, but we're not perfect yet. So we still have tendencies that must slowly wear off if we really want to become pure devotees of Krishna. So we should also be careful amongst ourselves to seek association of a devotee. And a devotee means one who's always, you know, trying to glorify Krishna. Devotees are like swans, they're always seeking the nectar, not like flies, where they see something wrong and they attack it. So if they see something with a devotee or someone's not doing some service, they go on that point like anything. And then we develop this mentality of criticizing all the time. We're just being expert in seeing the negatives, forgetting about the positives. And we see that's not how Srila Prabhupada was. Srila Prabhupada always tried to see the good in his devotees and magnify it so that they become encouraged to go on in devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada also described that that's what a preacher should do. A preacher should see that no matter how big or small inclination we have to serve Krishna, and then we should just fan that spark until it grows. So that's what, as preachers in the Sankirtan movement, we should be trying to ignite the fire of love of God in people's hearts. Forget about, you know, the gross things that we do. Yes, we were all there at one point, unless we were fortunate enough to be born into a family of Vaishnavas. But most of us, myself, we came from interesting backgrounds. I only heard the name Krishna when I was probably 18. I'd never heard it in my life. I knew Shiva. He had like a moon on his face or something, but that was about it. I didn't know anything else. Completely different lifestyle, that's where most of us are coming from. But by practicing devotional service, we get to know what is right and what is wrong. And by associating with serious-minded devotees, we get to understand what Krishna consciousness is about. It's not a fan club. It's not a social club. It's devotional service. It's a very serious activity, if we think about it very deeply. That's why it's good to read Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita, because we get to understand what exactly Srila Prabhupada has done by establishing this ISKCON movement. If anyone has been to Vrindavan and spent some time in Vrindavan, then you'll understand how difficult it is to actually leave Vrindavan and then come to the West. It's just a beautiful atmosphere. No one wants to leave when they go there. But Srila Prabhupada, his mercy, he came and he gave us Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna book and Bhagavad Gita. So when we understand really deeply what Srila Prabhupada has done, and when we understand what Gauranga Mahaprabhu has done by coming in this age of Kali, by choosing to come and to descend again in 2004 in Mayapur as Panchatattva, so the Lord again is saying, okay, I'm here. I'm here in my magnanimous form, so please serve me in a big way. He's so merciful, so we have to willingly and openly just accept his mercy. Whether it comes through the lotus flower, or if it comes through a kick in the back, or a slap on the face. We should embrace every opportunity to get purified. It's actually a wonderful thing because you know something's happening, something's coming out. Purification must happen. So you must become aware of your sin, and this is what's happening to Pingala. She's becoming aware of like her foolish mentality. And therefore she's realizing, it's like she's waking up, she was in a daze, she was moonwalking, being in her materialistic life, but now she's back to ground zero, and she's realizing, I've been such a fool. I've been wasting my time with all these people who could never even give me the slightest tinge of pleasure. So this very important and strong instruction by Pingala. So we can tell by who we associate with, where we are in our devotional service. We can tell by our talks where we are in our devotional service. Pingala here, what I'm getting is that she's giving us impetus to actually take stock of our devotional service. You know, in stocks, they have like stock taking every month, okay, we have this, this and that. So we should also do that regularly. What have I been doing this week? What have I been saying? How much preaching have I done? What did I struggle with this week? And how am I going to push on? So it's not a sentimental thing here, practicing devotional service. Devotional service is real, and it's dealing with Krishna and his devotees. It's not that it's only about Krishna. Krishna means Krishna and his devotees. And that's the heart of a preacher. So I was thinking of a very profound example that in the 10th canto in Krishna book, how Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted to perform the Rajasuya Yajna. And there, my first master was giving a whole series of classes explaining how Maharaj Yudhisthira, you know, they really didn't need to perform a Rajasuya Yajna because they knew Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were associating with him every day. They were so fortunate. But Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted to actually declare boldly to the entire universe, not only to this world, but we understand that in Bhagavatam we have interplanetary Taurus. It's not that only people from this earth planet were coming to these yajnas, but Shiva, Vishnu would come, the different devatas would come as well to these sacrifices because the Sangha was so pure, the Sangha was so potent. and in the purpose of Srila Prabhupada in the 10th canto, the slaying of the demon Jarasandha. In text 5, specifically I wanted to speak on this verse and linking it to the story of Pingala. It says, "Therefore, O Lords of Lords, let the people of this world see the power of devotional service rendered to your lotus feet. Please show them, O Almighty One, the position of those gurus and strangers who worship you, and the position of those who do not." So similarly with what Pingala was saying, that although she may have worshipped different materialistic men or whoever, but actually the real position is worshipping Krishna. And the position of people who do worship Krishna, or who take shelter of Krishna, we see that the misery goes, the misidentification with the body goes. At the same time that we're removing all these external manifestations of our concocted minds, at the same time we cultivate this love for Krishna. So it's not that we're just focusing on relinquishing the unhappiness and the stress and all these things that different yoga schools are teaching now, if you want to become happy. You know, that comes as a byproduct of devotional service. What we want is to actually experience love for Krishna, pure unalloyed love. And here Prabhupada begins the purpose by saying that here we clearly see the heart of a preacher. So Srila Prabhupada doesn't often so much describe in the different pastimes how the pure devotees of the Lord are preachers. So here he's saying Yudhishthira Maharaj is a preacher, and I was hearing my spiritual master Yudhishthira Maharaj explain this, and he was saying a preacher means that you establish Krishna's glories all over the world. So we're not just, you know, in ISKCON we're not just sitting in our corner somewhere doing our bhajan or studying the different books, the sandhavas or whatever it is that we're into studying, that we actually go out there and make it firm known that only Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even if you want anything material, you can just go to Krishna for it. And gradually Krishna will use those material desires to purify us. As we see with the example of Dhruva Maharaj, Krishna purified that desire, and Dhruva Maharaj realized that I was actually searching for nothing while I had the greatest treasure. Just pieces of glass, but now Dhruva Maharaj understood what exactly the darshan of the Lord meant. He had received the favor of the Lord. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, being a great preacher, was establishing Krishna's glories all over the world, and that is why he wanted to perform the Rajasriya Yagya. And he brought all the main demigods and the different rishis and the sages and the brahmanas to show them that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore he worshipped him first, he performed the Agra Puja to Krishna as being the most exalted person in that assembly. And within that association you see Yudhishthira Maharaj had his brothers, he had eminent sages, you know, so many munis and such exalted devotees of the Lord. And you can just imagine what kind of discussions were going on, because the main focus was just Krishna. So it was nothing but Krishna Katha, glorifying Krishna all the time. So this is what Yudhishthira Maharaj's heart is like. It was just full of giving Krishna to others, not just keeping it for himself, but he wanted to let everyone know that Krishna is the only maintainer, annihilator, creator, and he will fulfill all your desires, material and spiritual. So this is the great gift that we have in Bhagavatam. These wonderful pastimes help us see that the only place actually to take shelter is at Krishna's lotus feet. That's no devatas, no materialistic men, no kind of self-gratification can actually give us solace. We try so many times thinking and hoping that, you know, this one time when I enjoy Maya, just this one time maybe she just won't kick me so hard. Or it won't take me so long to wake up. So it's a good feeling actually being frustrated by the material energy, because then you know there's nothing in it for me. And although most of us approach Krishna because we are in a distressed position, we need nothing else but to go to him, whether we're conscious of it or not. So this is the position of Pingala. She got so frustrated in the material energy. She knew nothing else. And because of the association of the devotee, of the pure devotee, and the super soul in the heart, she came to realize the only person is to go to Krishna to seek refuge. That's the only place you can actually go to where Krishna's part and parcel. It's interesting how, because it's a, that term is in English, not proverb, but it's an English saying, part and parcel, and Prabhupada expertly dovetailed it into emotional service, where Krishna's part and parcel, and the part is made to please the whole. Now that we hear this so many times, I'm also just trying to ram it into my brain that I'm a part and parcel of Krishna, that I'm not the body. But we constantly have to hear Bhagavatam all the time, or else we're going to forget. It's very easy to get to forget what's being stated in Bhagavatam, because our minds are dull. At least I know my mind is dull. So I have to read Bhagavatam every single day, or hear it all the time. So this is a great boon, this is a great instruction we've been giving here by Yudhishthira Maharaj and Pingala. And I'll just finish off by reading the translation again and then asking if anyone wants to comment or ask a question. So text 43 translation was, the Avadhut says, that's a mind completely made up. Pingala cut off all her sinful desires to enjoy sex, pleasure with lovers, and she became situated in perfect peace. Then she sat down on her bed. Material desire is undoubtedly the cause of the greatest unhappiness, and freedom from such desire is the cause of the greatest happiness. Therefore, completely cutting off her desire to enjoy so-called lovers, Pingala very happily went to sleep. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any corrections or comments or anything anyone would like to share?
We have a very nice class, and we said we were discussing last night in Bhakti Yoga course also. There are two vidhi, Bhagavad vidhi and Pancharatika vidhi. So by Bhagavad vidhi we remember Krishna. But can you give us some realization how to increase our love for lotus feet of Krishna? Besides hearing and chanting, which we are doing.
Besides hearing and chanting. That's the number one
thing. And we are doing. Any more things you can add to this?
Well, how to increase our love for Krishna? Well, the main thing was, well, we're still aspiring devotees, so we really have to hear and chant intensely. And one thing my spiritual master once said to me when I was asking him, how can I deepen my absorption of chanting Hare Krishna or reading the Shastra? And he responded and he said, our chanting of Hare Krishna can never be good enough because it's the expression of real love. And then he explained to me further when I met him, he said, I'm sure you realize when you try to express to another person how much you feel about it, you can't actually put it in words. So when you try to express to Krishna how much we want to remember him, we should just keep on going, pushing higher and higher. Because Krishna is unlimited, and the holy name has such unlimited potency. So we can't really say we've mastered chanting Hare Krishna. It's still happening in the spiritual world. Although it's just chanting Hare Krishna all the time. So what we can do is actually we take our chanting to the next level. And that could mean we intensify our hearing of the mantra. We increase the number of our rounds. And we increase our reading of the scriptures that Prabhupada is giving us. And it's more powerful when we do it in the association of devotees. So when you do that, you become, well, I know for myself, I like studying in the association of devotees. I just get so much out of it. So many points that I miss out, but a devotee will point it out to me. And then just being amongst the devotees, you get to realize your fortunate position. You want to serve the devotees. So when you hear and chant naturally, you increase your service, because if you're hearing properly, you realize, no, Krishna is the Supreme Person, Krishna's devotees are here, the way to please Krishna, the way to Krishna's heart is through his devotees. Let me serve Krishna's devotees. Let me serve the deities. So you can try to practice that. It's not easy sometimes because some of us want to be served.
One more point is going to Vrindavan Dham. That is Prabhupada and saying, because 3 days in, as Keshava said yesterday, 3 days in Vrindavan Dham means 1 year in spiritually. So that way we can increase our love for Krishna by going to Dham more often.
We should always go under the care of specific, like, senior devotees when we go to Vrindavan. We don't go to Vrindavan for shopping at Loi Bazaar, or we don't go to Vrindavan just to walk around and, like, buy the milk sweets and the sun papris, you know, and do all these things. When you go to Vrindavan, you go there to hear Krishna Katha. You go there to associate and to serve the devotees. So my experience when I went to Vrindavan, my spiritual master sent me for 3 months under the care of Mother Devi Shakti, and he said, don't go anywhere, don't go to Mayapur, don't go to Jagannath school, just stay in Vrindavan for 3 months. And my understanding of that, it's not that I did anything big, I didn't have a desire to go to India or to go anywhere. It was purely out of his mercy. And we know that you don't enter Vrindavan just through a ticket. There's more to it. So to go to Vrindavan, even Boma Vrindavan, you have to have the mercy of a resident of Vrindavan. So the spiritual master, the pure devotees, actually carry us to the holy dham, and they take care of us when we're there. But we also have to show that we want to be qualified. We have to have the qualification to be in Vrindavan as well. And that comes through properly executing the orders of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and pleasing the devotees. So by doing that, the Supreme Lord and His servants, the Parampara, also become pleased with us. But we have to keep it steady. It's not a once-off thing. We have to be like that for entire Krishna consciousness. So tomorrow we'll start the chapter, Detachment from All That Is Material. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.